It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WTN. All right, now this is a pretty unique moment.
I mean, it is.
Even in a show that has unique moments, right, Anna? We just had a guy who, was in charge of the CIA
and the NSA
sitting in the studio with us about an hour ago. And now we have one of the great lawyers this town has ever seen, a man of national, if not international, fame for all of the work that that he has done
in the courtroom and outside the courtroom, I might add, philanthropically for this community.
Mr. Robert Clifford, who, and I would just like to say, I mean, I don't know how many times I've begged Bob for money for some charity here or there. And every time he has shown up with a check, many times more than even what I sat there and begged for. Mm-hmm. And Bob, you know, I'm a big beggar.
He's a good beggar.
Yeah, he's raised it to an art form.
Yes, I have. But always for the right stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, eventually it'll be for me. But at this moment, it's always been for...
It's always for the kids or a cause
veterans.
That is worthy of attention. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's what we do. And federal judge Charles Koukouras is with us. It's very rare that you ever get to sit down with a federal judge, and we really appreciate your time in this.
Can I jump in? Well, let the record reflect, I've never asked Clifford for any money.
Not yet.
Yeah, but they're good. Yes, that's true.
That's true.
It's probably worked out better for you, Judge. Yeah, I don't think we can say that of every judge, but we can say that certainly of you, sir. So thank you very much. All right, so now, and Anna, now you're involved in this. Why don't you set this up? What's going on?
It's the trial of Antigone, and it really is the meeting of the legal minds in Chicago. Judge Koukouras sets up, has engaged people like Bob Clifford, Dan Webb, Patrick Fitzgerald, Patrick Collins, people just who come together for this charity, for the Hellenic Museum, and put on the Trial of Antigone. So they do ancient trials that have to pertain to the laws of the time. And you would think this is just a charity thing, it's just a mild-mannered thing, but all of these lawyers in one room, lambs turn into lions row, and this gets ugly, and it's great. I mean, it's just amazing to see history and the legal process come together. And then the jurors thing, too, judges, is kind of unusual.
Yeah, they love it as well.
It's amazing.
So now where is this going to be? The people want to go. They can go see this, right?
Field Museum.
Yeah.
March 10th, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Tickets are on sale through the National Hellenic Museum.
Which is pretty cool that Chicago has
it really
right?
is. And I especially mean, now there's a great... at the museum.
The exhibit, the Greeks.
That's right, the Greeks.
Agamemnon to Alexander the Great. They have certain artifacts that have not been seen outside of Greece, have traveled here because of the Hellenic Museum and the Field Museum's efforts.
How come Jimmy Alexander from Athena's not at the very end of that? Why doesn't he make it all the way to the top?
He's at the Hellenic Museum, probably.
You're right, but he's not. But at the Field Museum, where you get to right to the end, from Agamemnon to Jimmy, who's going to seat you over at Athena.
Well, he's an important guy, too.
Very important to me, I can tell you that.
You should phone that in.
Yeah. All right. Now, okay, I don't want to go to the very center of this. Now, this is the trial of Antigone and the guilt or innocence of Antigone. And I was trying to figure this out because Greek mythology and Greek tragedy and Greek comedy is always, it's so layered. It's like Philodo. It's almost impossible to figure out what's going on by the time you're done with it. Who are you taking a side in this, Bob? Are you arguing this?
Yeah, I'm taking a side.
Who are you for or against Antigone?
She is being prosecuted for violating the king's laws. You know, Creon set an edict. And, you know, the past is prologue, right? You've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, this is playing out in modern day. People say, well, why do you do these things? This is modern day being unfolded in something that occurred centuries ago. This lady violated the king's laws on the premise that her law of the blood relationship between her and her brother and of some mythical divine law permitted her to violate the king's deliberate creed that her brother, who was dishonored, he attacked the city, he tried, you know, to overthrow the king, and he was killed in battle, you know, as he should have been. He was a criminal, and his body was laid out to bake in the sun with the birds and the bees and the animals, as was the law of the time, and she violated that. She went and buried him, and she wasn't supposed to. She committed a crime. You can't do that. There's a rule of law, and she violated it.
So which side are you on?
Yeah, I know.
All right, sorry. Yeah,
and already tainting the jury, I see, right?
And Judge, you have to sit as these guys?
I sit along with Richard Posner and Bill Bauer, and we're going to decide whether his fierce advocacy, which he's just exemplified, is going to carry the day, because there's another side to the story.
Well, Judge, you know,
who's on the other side? Who's defending Antigone?
Patrick Fitzgerald and Patrick Collins. So, you know, we've
former
got
prosecutors too. Those are tough.
Yeah, but they were apparently here recently with one of your colleagues, kind of trash talking the prosecution.
Oh,
so that's not
were
good.
They?
Yeah,
who's that? Who is also on your side?
With? I have Dan Webb. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
It does not get better than that. Yeah.
What I love how seriously you take it. I mean, honestly, you do so much homework. We were talking about. Judge was telling me about this too. I mean, you do so much homework to prepare for this day, and it's fascinating to watch. I mean, it's just fascinating.
Well, you'll recall the trial of Socrates and the trial of Orestes. Mm-hmm. And Orestes, it was such a fun thing to do. There's nothing better than to stand in front of that audience and get up and your opening line being, "She had it coming," you know? I mean,
and they all brush up on their Greek because they know that there's some Greek Americans there.
But Judge Posner keeps us on our toes.
Right.
And as he's fond of letting us know that he speaks Greek, and in college he studied Greek mythology in a class, and they only spoke Greek to one another. So when a guy like that is looking over your
Greek
shoulder.
Too,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's not even a spoken language anymore, right? It's like a dead language.
Judge, you have to think about this too as an ethnic pride situation, because you're a Greek American yourself. You're Chicagoan. Greek immigrant parents, or
both parents were immigrants, right? Uh-huh. And while it's an old case, ancient case, and the facts are a little weird because she's trying to bury her brother, and that's the alleged act of treason, the fact is that the issues in the case transcend the modern times. Mm-hmm. The power of the government to decree things, the reasonableness of the act, whether or not the gods have a say in what a citizen can do or not, where does natural law end and man-made law begin? And at the law of the times was, which law do we apply? There's no written law at the time. So there's all kinds of legal issues that are similar to modern-day trials here.
Sounds like Cook County.
Supreme Court deals with on a regular basis.
Yeah, sure. And Anna mentioned something very important that's apropos for our city. You know, we're a city rich in the culture of and heritage of many of our ethnic groups, and it's important to celebrate those. And here, I think it's important for those of Greek descent to watch and study the things that have occurred in their culture and that come down and been passed down for centuries, just as much as it is, you know, for St. Patrick's Day or, mm-hmm. you know, the Polish-American parades. I mean, heritage matters, and no city exemplifies that more than Chicago.
No,
something
and
I love about
it is
city.
A beautiful thing, too.
The other beautiful part, excuse me for interrupting, is the advocacy that's involved here. These are four great lawyers. Mm. Chicago's blessed with great lawyers, but these are four of the best. They have pride in what they do, and it's great theater to listen to great oral advocacy on either side of a debatable issue, and it's just a pleasure to listen to these guys.
It is, you know, to me, and you know, Bob, you and I have talked about this before, that this is the best show in town. When everybody talks about politics in this town, but the law that trans its way through the federal courts here, more embarrassing for the state of Illinois than not. You know, we've had a few governors work their way through, and not for the right reasons, right? But you've got the civil law that works its way through here, the criminal court law that happens at the county level. I mean, some of the most groundbreaking cases from Darrow all the way up, right, to what you see here, transpiring. It's the most interesting legal community, and you have these great law schools here on mm-hmm. top of it, right? That between I don't want to go in any particular order
I wouldn't if I were you.
Go to the nerds and intellectoids at the University of Chicago, and you go to the guys at Northwestern, men and women in Northwestern who come out ready for loaded for bear and also hating the guys from the University of Chicago, and then the great working lawyers that come out of everything from Loyola's a great school to John Marshall. DePaul
us blue collar folks from DePaul, we're listening to what
right.
they have to say.
Or to Kent, right? Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's just the most rich tapestry of a profession here, and the collegiality too. I mean, with the exception of you got a few Trumpians along the way in there, but it is really mm-hmm. fascinating to see, and you'd be so proud to be a part of that community, right?
I am, and it's a pleasure for me to sit every day and see great lawyers try cases. It doesn't have to be at a museum, but we see it regularly in the federal courts.
Oh, yeah.
And as you mentioned, the collegiality, and certainly you don't have to go very far to find things about the law or the lawyers that, you know, set the community, you know, in a way that you don't respect, you know, whether it's you don't like what's on a billboard or the side of the bus. But the fact of the matter is that Chicago has lawyers who are practicing at the highest level with the best of integrity and ethics, and it plays out in the courtroom. And it's only gotten better in my mind. And I have a lot of young lawyers that work for me, and, you know, we emphasize scholarship, and they work at it, and they try hard because they have to appear before judges like Judge Koukouras. And if they are wrong on the law, then they're misleading the court, and that's, you know, an injustice for everyone. So from what I've seen of the practicing bar, they take it very seriously, mm-hmm. and it's proud to be part of that.
Oh, well, I mean, you can just sit the federal courts here, and I've had the pleasure of both covering and also going for my own entertainment sometimes to see some of these guys, some of these great orators. And it really is entertaining. I mean,
it is.
And it's interesting that there's people that do this. Like, there's a whole, like, circuit of people who go from courtroom to courtroom to courtroom with their, you know, plastic jewel bags, and they sit there and they watch what goes on. It's fascinating, yeah. because people, you're seeing, you know, real live drama, but with, you know, with real consequences and how it really plays out. And if you, and again, as you pointed out, one thing though, between you've got Judge Koukouras, you've got Judge Posner, who's also taking part in this, mm-hmm. as we mentioned, Judge Zagel and some of the other guys who are on the, I don't want to leave anybody out on the federal bench in case I'm ever in front of any of them, but I do want to say that it is an amazing, when you watch these guys, there's majesty to it in some ways, don't you think?
I don't know if I want to go that far. But what I will say is that there's really strong scholarship, and there are folks that enjoy what they do, and they enjoy serving a community that is, you know, we are a city and we are a state, we are a country that is governed by a rule of law. I know, and you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention here, I was stunned by, you know, I'm an Irish Catholic Southside guy, right? And I'm doing this thing, and I have been now for the last several years with these Greek trials. And after the last one, I took my family to dinner in Greektown. And no one knew who I was. And at the tables next to me, there were a lot of people from the Greek community. They were debating the case. And I was stunned by that. I mean, the community gets into these things, you know. So on March 10th, we expect 1,000 people, Anna, I think, at the museum.
That and you're hosting?
PBS is going to be broadcasting this. And it's, you know, that enriches the cultural, you know, opportunity and exposure for, you know, this community, for the legal community. It shows the legal community in a good, strong light. And I'm proud to be and thankful to be very part of
that. We're proud you're part of it, too, because I know it is a source of pride. And the fact that people like you are coming together to help the Hellenic Museum, I think, is meaningful to all of us. Since we have two great legal minds here, can I ask you guys explain something to me about the Supreme Court? 8 judges, the fact that we might not get a ninth one for a while because of political issues. What does that mean to us? Why should we be concerned or not concerned about there being 8 judges right now?
Well, if you have an even number, if they split 4-4, then the law of the case will be what the last court was that decided the case.
And that becomes the law.
So you always need an odd number to break ties, if you will. But if a case goes up and in theory it's a 4-4 at the Supreme Court, then the law stands. That was the last court to administer and pronounce the law. So it can result in stalemates and very close questions of fact.
And they can't
law.
Be brought back up, right?
That case can't be revisited.
Not when you get a ninth just and say, well, let's have a repeat. It's not going to work that way.
You know, so that's why elections matter. Mm-hmm. And irrespective of who you're voting for and which philosophical side you're on, elections matter. Mm-hmm. And you know, it is true, I think, that this particular election, if you think that what the Supreme Court does matters, and it does, mm-hmm. On many of the issues that are important to each and every citizen listening to us now, then get out and vote. Participate. I sadly saw something on the news just the other day. One of these guys was doing interviews with people on the street saying, did you vote today? and they said, yeah, I voted. And they lied because they were being asked about it, and they gave him a little sticker saying, I lied today instead of I voted today. get out and vote. And it matters. It counts. It's important. And the dynamics of what we're seeing in this, it's the Chinese curse, right? May you live in interesting times. Right. I think we're all there.
And the other hackneyed phrase, but I think it's true. Those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it, right? Mm-hmm. And that scares me too in this particular election.
But you see,
when I
was reading this plot, right, of Antigone, I said, well, this is just like the election, because now Justice Scalia died. You got the Republicans saying that, well, we're not going to vet any candidate. You've got Obama saying, well, it's my duty to put one forward. And so here we have, do you follow the rule of law? Which says that you have a constitutional duty to act.
Shall. The president shall.
Yeah. Or do you not? I mean, we are a world that should be governed. Certainly America is a nation that is governed rule of law.
I like how the Constitution is, especially for people who declare themselves to be strict constitutionalists, is a living document for them, too. Well, that's not what the president, that's not what it says there. Shall, what shall mean? The president shall. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much. And again, this is going to be March 10th, Field Museum, and check-ins at 5:30. It is a trial of Antigone. And if you would like to get tickets, you go to nationalhellenicmuseum.org or call 312-655-1234 or in person at the museum gift shop, too, if you happen to be down at the Field Museum, too, or at the National Hellenic Museum, I should say. At there, you can get the tickets. $100 per person, $50 for students. And it's a must-see, especially if you're interested in the law. It's a must-see thing. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us today.